And we're back.
OMG.
There's no watermelon in front of your belly.
Thank God.
It's been a minute.
It's been a year.
I'm sorry, listeners. We went out on a hiatus for 6 weeks, and this has been the longest 6 weeks.
It's been a year.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Do you want to comment on that, or let's just pretend it didn't happen?
It was yesterday. Let's keep going.
We're going to keep talking about it throughout because there's so much that has happened in these past months that will be part of the context of this podcast, I'm sure, because we've been through some challenges.
Yeah.
You particularly.
Yeah, I'd say I've been through most of them.
Yeah.
You know, getting the watermelon out.
Yeah. Give a 2-minute summary of the end of the pregnancy and why it's taken us this long to get back in our podcast rhythm.
It was a tough recovery for myself. I'm not 20 anymore, so it took a physical toll, but it also took an emotional toll this time around. There were some struggles, we'll say.
Yeah.
And so it took me a little while. It took me about 6 months to be able to recover my identity, almost my sense of self.
It was deep.
It was. It was very earth-shaking for me. I had to dig deep.
What's interesting is that you've had great pregnancies, even though the twin pregnancy was a high-risk pregnancy. It wasn't emotionally. It wasn't at this level.
No.
So the good thing now on the back end of it is that you can relate to so many moms who have gone through tough postpartum situations, right?
Yeah.
So lots to share with our listeners in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point we'll give a clearer picture to those who want to know. If you want to know, let us know.
It's part of life, right? Do the people want to know?
That's the people want to know. If the people want to know, we will tell. If the people don't care, why tell?
Why tell? Well, we're glad you're with us today. So let's get going with our podcast.
Welcome to Marriage with the Mullers, a conversation to help marriages heal, grow, and stay strong. To stay connected and to submit topics, follow us on Instagram at Marriage with the Mullers or visit our website at jdmuller.com. Let's get started. Here's JD and Alini Muller.
Well, we have a juicy podcast today. Can I say juicy? Sounds weird, right?
Yes.
I think it'll be informative and helpful to a lot of people because, as you remember, our last podcast, we started kind of a series.
A communication series.
Exactly, because it's too much to talk in one podcast. So we're going to take a few podcasts to address this question by one of our listeners. And today we're going to talk about how to have difficult conversations.
Buckle up, folks.
Buckle up. But before that, we have our first segment. If you're familiar with the show, here we go.
Tales, tips, and trends.
Today, what we have is a tip. Is it a tip or is it a tale? I can't tell. Do you want to explain to our listeners what it is?
I don't know if it's either, but there is a video kind of going around on Instagram by Brené Brown, and she is talking about how marriage is not 50-50, how that is a load of poo-poo. And marriage is actually, you know, you carrying whatever it is that you have that day. Let's say if you only have 20% to give, or 20% of kindness left, or 20% of patience left, or 20% of anything. And your partner is able to give to fill in the difference.
Yeah.
You're able to fill in the 80 that's missing.
And I like that picture. And I like the way that she, I mean, Brené Brown is very insightful, but the way that she shared really depends on communication, which is part of what we're talking about. Because you have to be able to be on the same level with your partner to be able to say, hey, today I'm at 10. You know, what I went through coming home after work, like I'm at 10, man, I am done.
Yeah.
And then to see if your partner can cover the other 90.
I think this is, it has to do with emotional intelligence.
Yes.
Your ability to understand where you are and how much you have to give, and your partner's ability to see where you are and fill in the gap for you on given days. And it's the exchange, right? It's not always, yes, one partner always being low and the other one always having to give.
That's why the communication is important, because it brings awareness. If you create a pattern, then the underlying expectation is just there, right? Yeah. So this is the way it is. But if you bring communication and say, hey, I know we're supposed to meet halfway. I know we're supposed to cover each other. But today, the day was just terrible, or the day was just really hard. And so having that open communication is important, because it means that tomorrow it might be different.
Well, and also you might both have a day where you're both at 10.
Yes.
And that's where you offer grace to one another and not know not to have these conversations.
That's a day for leftovers and mac and cheese.
Yes, that's the day you order pizza. But it's also not a day you have difficult conversations.
Yes.
It's also not a day where you push and make lifelong plans.
Yeah. It's a day to have
levity. It's a day to just, let's have some fun and, yeah, let it be what it is.
Yeah.
And pick up tomorrow, yes, with whatever it is that was so important.
And encourage one another with good intimacy.
Okay.
Yeah. Because when you're happy and you're joyful, you celebrate with good intimacy. And when you're lacking, you strengthen one another with good intimacy.
So either way, good intimacy is the answer?
I think it's a key.
Okay.
I think I just discovered something really powerful.
Lord have mercy.
That no man has ever thought of.
No man has ever thought of, no. I'm sure.
All right. So let's transition to our main topic. And today we're talking about how to have difficult conversations. I think this is important, because I think that you can be married for years and have a pattern of having difficult conversations that is not healthy, or sometimes because you had it one time and blew up in your face, or because one person tends to manipulate the conversation, it quite doesn't get where it needs to get.
I think you shy away from the conversation at some point if it's always a blowout. Yeah. You stop having them.
Yes. And unresolved issues are like rust and rot in a relationship, just slowly deteriorating and weakening.
It's the vine that grows on the tree that makes the tree die. We have trees in our yard, guys. I just saw the vines growing on the tree.
We have to take care of the vines that kill the tree.
Sure.
Right? So I think these five simple steps that we're going to share today are going to be helpful to a lot of people. And do you want to start with the first one?
The first one we suggest is for you to have a plan.
So before you have the conversation, before you begin, when the issue is eating you up inside, some of us just want to bury it. Some of us want to investigate. Some of us want to stalk. Some of us want to just come down swinging and just confront the situation immediately, right?
Immediately.
We say, pump the brakes, make a plan. So if you are shy or you don't know how to start and you tend not to have conversations, have a plan. That'll help you. And if you tend to fly off the handle and just come down swinging, stop and make a plan.
What it is having the end in mind. What is the outcome that you desire from this conversation? It's not just come down swinging, say whatever's on your mind, because whatever's on your mind will disrupt the outcome.
Yes, very good.
So have an idea of where you want this to lead.
And that will give the conversation due importance for you. You will address it properly if you have a plan. All right, number two is know your why.
Yes. I mean, why are you bringing this topic up? Is it because you're insecure? Is it because you're hurting?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because you feel unseen? What's actually wrong? What's right? Why is this important?
Yeah.
Why does it matter?
Yeah, let's take and make it a little bit more granular, right? Let's imagine a scenario. Let's say the issue is money. Too much money was spent. what is the actual why here? Is the plan being affected? Are you compromising the future of the family? Is there a problem with priorities? If you take a different issue, it could be a relationship with somebody outside the marriage that is getting too risky, too racy.
Is it causing you to feel jealous? Is it causing you to feel insecure? Is it actually painful because your perception is that that your spouse is getting closer or being more vulnerable and more emotional with that person than with yourself? Are you seeing a pattern? Are you seeing what is, why? Why is it bothering you? Is it because you just are insecure, or is it because it's hurting?
Yeah.
Well, what is happening?
You got to be able to clearly explain the problem to yourself before you can bring it up with clarity, because what will tend to happen is that you might begin to go on the offensive and begin to attack if you're not clear about the problem and the other person doesn't take it as you were expecting.
Yeah. Can't let your emotions take the best of you. You have to be able to clearly, pragmatically almost state the problem in order to find a solution. Because again, it's not about attacking your spouse. It's about solving the problem.
Yes. And so that takes us to number three, which is mind your tone and your language. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Language is everything. If you begin a conversation with, you always do this, or you never do that, or any absolute language, you immediately lose credibility. Because nobody always anything or never nothing, you know, you just don't. It's not always and it's not never. So be aware of what the actual words that are coming out of your mouth, what you're saying.
Yeah.
What are the words?
Can you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yes. Be aware of those words.
Classic Chris Tucker.
Classic. You say what you mean, but use your words wisely.
Yes.
Paint the right picture. Don't be an extremist. This is not a time for exaggeration so that your point can be made clear.
Yeah.
You know, can be made. It's not going to be made.
Remember, you got to have the end in mind, that you got to follow your plan. And it goes back to the basics. We've talked about this here in this podcast. It's about generalizations. It's about attacking the problem, not the person. If you begin to attack the person, you're going to make a mess out of it. You're going to say things that are hurtful, things that you can't unsay. Scripture says, let your words be seasoned with salt. What does that mean? You got to mind what you're saying. You got to be careful, because just like when you fire a gun, the bullet that leaves the gun, you can't take it back. It's going to go and do the damage that it's meant to do. So do our words. And you can repair the wound, but you can't take it back. So it's better if you measure your words and you attack the problem, not the person, and don't make a mess out of the situation.
Agreed.
Now, number four is a huge one. It's a major one. It's something that we're always going to address in this podcast because it is a crucial part of communication.
Yes. Listen. For the love of God, listen. Listen to your spouse. It might be that this conversation is a moot point, that you misunderstood the entire situation. It might be that the impression you got from whatever was not what they meant to say or communicate or do in the first place. It might be that this is just a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Now, it might be that it is not.
And it might be that your addressing the issue may bring a clarity to your spouse. So listen.
Yeah, listen for the response coming back. Be flexible.
Yeah.
Because the end might look different. You're not coming to just attack your spouse and to be right. You're coming to solve the matter.
And listening is not a passive activity. Listening is an active exercise. Listening means I'm going to take an active approach and I'm going to actively listen. I'm going to say active one more time.
Come on.
Right?
Attentively. Too many actives.
Yeah, listen. Attentively listen. Be proactive in the way that you do that. You communicate back to your spouse in different ways and manners what was just said to you.
Yes. You make sure that you understood what they're trying to communicate. And you do so by maybe reporting it back. This is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
This is what I'm getting from this. Am I correct? Am I understanding it? Are we, you know, on the same page?
When you bring a problem, it's not just the job of your spouse to listen to you. You too have to listen. We're talking about the person who is initiating the difficult conversation here. So yes, it's important for you to be listened to, but it's just as important for you to listen. And then number five is give space to process. Very important.
Give space for your partner to process. Sometimes you have one partner who is on the fly. They're quick. They process fast. They have an answer. They can, you know, they take matters. They're good on the fly. And then you have a spouse that might not be, that they take time to process. They have to think things through. They have to go through all the avenues and, you know, measure all the outcomes to then understand.
I'm the latter.
Yes, you are.
Most of the time, I need a day.
Yes.
Because I really think about every possible scenario and angle.
Well, so I am not the latter.
No, and you are not.
I am not. And we have had conversations like this where I tell you something and I want an answer from you immediately. Yes. And you're not giving it to me. And I think, why can't you just, you know, just see it my way,
honey, right now. And I'm like, come back in a month. Not really.
No.
But that's what it feels like to you.
Yes. People process things in different timelines. So especially if whatever it is that you're addressing is important. I mean, you can have, you know, have difficult conversations that are not that important in the end of the day, you know, but still a difficult conversation, but it won't mean much 6 months to a year, 5 years, wherever.
Yeah.
Then you can have difficult conversations that will mean for a lifetime. Yes. That's especially important to give your partner the space to think it through and process
the information. Read the room, right? Read the room. Don't be like, all right, what do you have to say for yourself? Come on, I need an answer. It's important for you to be patient if you value the relationship, if you value the end that you have in mind, right? Remember, you start with the end in mind. So you go back to your plan and you give your spouse room to process. I think those five steps will help you have great conversations, even though they might be very difficult, and get to a resolution to many of these issues and hopefully make your marriage stronger. And bring you guys together, because this is the goal of our podcast, is to equip you with principles and ideas and thoughts and wisdom that can help you go the distance.
Help you go somewhere.
All right. Now it's time for our last segment. You thought we were done. If you're new to the show, listener, you thought we were done. We're not done. What is the next one?
The paper I want to know.
Get ready. All right, the people want to know. This is a segment where you ask us questions about whatever you want to know about us, about our life, or just random things. And so the question that came in is pet peeves.
Your partner's pet peeves?
Your partner's pet peeves. Like
chewing your nails.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, no. Not only do you chew your nails,
Hey. Click, this is going to be click. Public record.
Yes.
Stop.
Not only do you chew your nails, but you click.
Okay,
click,
guys, click, I have a confession to make.
Bite the nail that you chew.
Since I was like 6 years old, I bite my nails. I know some people think it's gross, but it's not always. It's like when there is some kind of deep thought or anxiety.
And you're always in deep thought. Stop it.
So I go through days where I don't, but.
Yeah, that's my pet peeve.
But at least I don't touch the toenails.
Oh, gross.
I just need to make that clear. I had to bring that nasty joke because I don't want anybody. You know, these days people just
move it along.
Yeah, you say one thing, they read a whole paragraph. So
okay, Pepe.
Sometimes I nibble on my nails. You had to bring that up. Come on. I did.
What's your pet peeve? Come on. We bring the truth here.
Okay, here's the truth. Huh? Can you close it in any kind of container, please?
I'm gonna point out to you the ones that you leave behind.
What's the issue with closing a freaking container? It's jelly. It's okay. You have to twist what, 10 degrees?
I have to freaking clean up after everybody else. You know what?
But even whatever. When there's nobody else around, that's an excuse. Whatever. It's like
whatever.
Things are just open, left nope. open. On
now
purpose.
I'm just going to leave them more
and now,
open.
And now you're leading your children astray because Maya's starting to do the same thing. And I'm like, hey, this is a Miller household. You follow your dad on this issue.
Please.
Because this is a serious issue.
Issue.
Guys, so those are the pet peeves. That's probably the top one with Eleni. She doesn't close containers. She doesn't like to. I feel like she was pressured to be efficient growing up. And if she takes time to close a container, she'll feel like she's a slacker. She gets to get onto the next thing. Onto the next thing. Come on. And so everywhere you go in the house, containers are open.
Oh my God. That's not true.
I have spilled so many things.
Listen. That's not true.
Okay. We have no lids.
I live.
None of
remember
our Tupperwares
always
have lids.
And never.
Yeah.
What is this?
No lids.
No lids.
Yes.
Okay.
And why is that?
Mm-mm.
Yet
this is caca.
I'm exaggerating, but you get the point. It's a pet peeve. Pet peeves exaggerate the situation. That's the nature of a pet peeve, right? So it's not you. It's me. Well, friends, it's been a pleasure to be with you.
It's nice to be here again.
Yes. And
in our delirious nights, because we record this at night when the kids go to bed, okay?
We have to. It's the only time.
So you get the delirious version of me.
Yes. And I feel like it's a cool, chill vibe, too, because we're not like up and peppy with the coffee and everything. So we're like, all right, winding down with JD and Eleni. Maybe that's what we should call the podcast. Winding down with the Millers.
All right. Not whining down.
But it could be some glasses of wine too.
All right.
You know.
All right.
All right.
Love y'all.
Time to go to bed.
See you next time.
Love you guys so much. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you for listening to Marriage with the Millers. Remember to subscribe and share. To submit a topic for our next conversation, send us a message on Instagram or email us at marriagewiththemillers@connectcommunity.org.